say ah. It's time for Open Wide with Sue Skipper and Dr. Bruce Edelstein. Specializing in periodontics, implants, and regenerative techniques, Dr. Edelstein's practice is Atlanta's premier periodontal office, where dentistry is both an art and a science. For more information, visit mygumdoc.com. And now, Open Wide with Sue Skipper and Dr. Bruce Edelstein.
And this is Jeff Davis with Sue Skipper and Dr. Bruce Edelstein. And guys, just kind of on a personal note, yesterday I had yet another exam at the office of Dr. Bruce Edelstein. Mm-hmm. This time it was a deep cleaning.
It was a regular cleaning.
It was a regular cleaning.
But just thorough.
Seemed pretty deep to me.
Deepish.
Just an ordinary thorough probe.
But it was very thorough. I mean, it was...
And gentle.
And it was gentle.
Yes.
I think I told you, and I love my other dentist, but... and I've never mentioned his name, and I probably never will here, but the hygienist, I always dreaded going there because it was so painful.
You told us that before, yeah.
And how was your experience yesterday?
Wonderful. In fact, I just told you, off mic, both of you, how much I enjoyed the hygienist, and she explained things. And
yeah.
She was really good. Tina something or other.
Tina is great, yeah. Like that. Tina Quarles.
Tina
She's been with us did 20
she,
years.
Did she equip you with some new tools to do
Yeah, one is
job?
To brush my tongue. You know, I used it this morning. And one of the things I realized, I have a very strong gag reflex.
Yeah.
I mean, that thing doesn't have to go far down
for
me to start gagging, you know. Fortunately, it was first thing in the morning. I didn't have any food in my stomach. Who knows what would have come up. Yeah. Now I have a better handle on how to use it, actually.
Yeah.
But all this makes sense, too, because if we're talking about bacteria and everything else, and just think of all the stuff that must get on our tongue.
Mm-hmm, sure.
That we're remiss, I guess, if we don't apply proper hygiene to our tongues. Mm-hmm. You want to opine on that, Dr.?
Absolutely. There's all kinds of little nooks and crannies that bacteria can accumulate and flourish, and you definitely want to brush your tongue and floss properly, too. Did she give you some pointers?
She taught me that, too.
Good.
Yeah.
There's a big difference between just flossing and flossing correctly. And a lot of people don't have the skill set to do a good job, and that's part of our job is helping them and empowering them to do a better job.
Well, she said, and when you floss each day, you should, you know, I'm like, okay.
You were like, each day?
Each day, huh?
Huh. You only have to floss the ones you want to keep.
Yeah. That's true. You know, people take this, you know, they take it... they don't take it seriously.
No, they don't.
But it is serious. It's important stuff.
It is. And it's such a simple thing to do. 45 seconds, 5 to 7 days a week.
Yeah.
Let me ask you this, Dr. Edelstein. Because we're talking about, today's show is called Ground Zero, because the mouth
Which
is,
you coined,
I
Jeff.
Coined.
Yeah. You coined.
We give you
Ground
credit for that.
Yeah.
Well, thank you.
We love it.
Can I say? She speaks the truth. I've got to deny it. You know? But because the mouth is ground zero for a lot of systemic disease, and particularly the gums. So let me ask you this, Dr. Edelstein. I would say maybe 5 to 7 years ago, I started to hear this term about inflammation.
Yes.
I've heard of inflammation all my life, of course.
Yes.
You know, they say, your tonsils are inflamed or your infected fingers and whatever. But it's maybe 5 to 7 years ago, I as a layman started hearing about a very strong connection between just kind of general inflammation in the body and some very serious diseases, including cancer.
Yes, including cancer.
When did this connection start to resonate with the medical community?
Probably about 10, 12 years ago, we started to realize that chronic inflammation anywhere in the body is correlated and can lead to some serious consequences. And it turns out that periodontal disease is the most common cause for chronic inflammation in the body.
Okay. And, you know, I've told you, I could kick myself now knowing what I know today compared to what I did yesterday, you know, yesteryear, because for years I had, and I know I'm fessing up here voluntarily, okay? I know there's HIPAA laws and all this kind of stuff. You know, but I had in tooth number, I think it's called 14.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
I heard you two referring to 14 mm-hmm. yesterday. Okay, up here. So I had inflammation, mm-hmm. and I had swelling, and I had pus in there.
Mm-hmm.
And I used to drain the pus by, like, pushing my finger against my mm-hmm. gums. And it worked. But I realize now how stupid that was. You know, I did it for years. So apparently you can have periodontal disease sometimes, I guess, maybe for years.
Yes.
And get away with it, which is exactly what I did. I got away with it.
Yes.
You but get away what, with severe pain. You don't get away with the repercussions of
that disease.
Well,
that's what I was just about to say.
Yeah.
You think you get away with the discomfort, but you, who knows what it does to you, you know?
Exactly.
So that was very stupid. But I think,
it's
I'm not trying
common.
To make excuses, but there's a lot of people who do that
It's
way.
Very
no,
common,
no.
though.
I have a friend.
We all have friends.
Yeah. We do. It turns out that half of the adult population in the United States over age 35 has some type of periodontal disease. That's how common it is. 50% over age 35.
And 70%, your notes here say,
yes.
in people 65 and older.
That's yes. a lot of people.
That's a lot of folks.
You're in the minority. And only 30% do not. Think about
and,
that.
And I could tell you from firsthand experience that it is underdiagnosed and undertreated on a regular basis. Mm.
I will say this, and I've got to ask you this. So I get a regular physical exam once a year,
mm-hmm.
and I even get my blood and urine tested two or three times a year because I got high cholesterol. I'm not diabetic, but I'm darn close to it, and my doctor keeps an eye on it. But I don't think my doctor's ever either asked me about my gums or looked at my gums in connection with any of these problems. Now, that sounds like a problem in itself to me.
I think it's a big problem. It turns out that the educational track that a dentist goes down is so different than an MD. And they just don't have the skill set to even inquire about someone's dental history. And quite frankly, they're pretty busy with some of the other stuff in the body. So part of it is, I think that we need to head in that direction. The medical profession and dental profession really needs to work more together in identifying and risk factors and giving some folks recommendations to treat periodontal disease.
You know, and they're giving you one pill after another, let's say to prevent diabetes or to treat diabetes. They might be giving you metformin, which is a big one, Januvia, all this kind of stuff. Honestly, without any consideration to the fact that maybe there's something that's causing this problem that we can treat that can ameliorate the problem or even end
You're
the
right.
problem without having to take all these medicines, because I know these medicines, I just know intuitively, they do help with a lot of things, but there's like a little bit of poison in them.
Oh,
you know?
They're definitely are side effects to all of these medications. It turns out that periodontal disease and diabetes has one of the strongest correlations out there of systemic disease and periodontal disease. And it turns out that someone who is diabetic is definitely have a more difficult time controlling their blood sugar. And once someone becomes diabetic, it turns out that they are exquisitely more prone to have periodontal disease. So they kind of feed on each other. And we actually do have at least a study or two that shows that someone with periodontal disease, if the periodontal disease is treated, it can have the effect of eliminating one oral medication and in the reduction in A1C.
That's huge.
It's pretty powerful.
Yeah,
that's huge.
Pretty powerful. So folks can actually improve their A1C enough to where one, of course, with physician supervision, I would never do it without, but they could have such improvements that they could eliminate one oral medication from their daily regime.
All right. Now, you mentioned diabetes, and we're going to talk more about diabetes in the second segment today, but and we've all acknowledged that periodontal disease has reached epic proportions, but I hear a lot more about diabetes. A lot more about diabetes
sure
than I
do
about periodontal disease.
Sure do. And that's one of the reasons we're coming down to do the show. We feel passionate about it as far as being the gateway to so many other medical conditions or ground zero, Jeff, as you said. And we really
can we stop
do
a second and kind of
and praise you a little
yeah,
bit?
That's right. Oh, sure.
Let's let the light glow a little more around you, Jeff, at this moment.
Thank you. You can go on now.
We digressed, didn't we? No, but we really feel passionate about it, and we're ready to do whatever we can do to make people aware and make people aware in the medical community. If there are folks listening to our show in the medical community.
You know, much as I joke about the ground zero and uh-huh. my point and all that kind of stuff, but the subject is not funny, really. The periodontitis.
It's devastating.
It's devastating. Let me ask you this, and maybe this is a stupid question. Is it contagious?
Actually, it is.
It is.
There is some evidence that the various bacteria that cause periodontal disease, the pathogenic bacteria, can be passed among members of the family by sharing spoons, as well as spouses.
Yeah, because, I mean, lately my wife won't go near me. I think it's got something to do with it. No, I'm just kidding. It's got nothing to do with that. Just kidding.
That's for another show.
That's for another show. We always say that. We're gonna do a separate radio show about relationships or something. So half the U.S. population, adult population, has periodontitis and it's gum disease.
Yes.
You know, mm-hmm. to use the generic term. And that's 65 million people. Wow.
It's a lot of people.
It is a lot of people. And let me ask you this, Dr. Edelstein. So I got treated actually for periodontal disease when I was 34 years of age. Mm-hmm. It's almost 30 years ago. Sad to say, but it was almost 30 years ago. And I went to a fellow and he scraped my gums. And I think I told you about the experience.
You did?
It was a very rough experience. I'm serious, and I've got a pretty good tolerance for pain. This guy was rough. He seemed like a very good, you know, doctor. But I never really followed up after that. I foolishly felt like, well, he scraped my gums. I guess he cured the problem, and I don't really need to be looked at again by a periodontist. You know, I'd go to my regular dentist a couple times a year, and mm-hmm. I thought, well, that seemed to be sufficient. In view of what I've learned, low these last several weeks, I think that thinking may have been a faulty. Was it faulty?
Absolutely. Yeah. It turns out that periodontal disease is a chronic condition. An analogy that I make, it's if you get pneumonia, does that 1 year and it's cured, does that mean you're not going to get it the next year?
Certainly not.
And as a specialist, there are preventative things that we could do to minimize a recurrence of periodontal disease because it is so common. And because if someone is prone at the beginning, if they're prone at some point in time, they're going to be prone a few years later for a recurrence. So there are things that we could do on a preventative basis, number one. And number two, we can intercept something earlier and recommend more conservative treatments that we can basically rescue someone before they need a whole, you know, a whole round of more significant treatment.
Can we be born, you know, in our DNA with a
yes.
predisposition to
yes.
adult periodontal disease?
It turns out there about 15 to 20% of the population have a gene that makes them more susceptible to periodontal breakdown.
Is there a way to identify that gene?
Yes, there is a way to identify that gene.
What is it? How do you do it?
There is a test. There is a saliva test that people can provide that makes that does a test for that specific gene.
And you can find out at a very young age before you've even got the disease, and you can watch for it, I guess.
You can.
And maybe prophylactically kind of treat?
You can. I have found that there are some situations where that may be helpful, but most of the time, the clinical signs and symptoms will tell us the same information without the genetic testing. There's not a whole lot we can do preventative-wise other than what we already know to do. Frequent professional cleanings, seeing a periodontist on a regular basis, home care, brushing, flossing. There's not a lot more that we would do.
But you know what might make a person visit their periodontist regularly is having the results of that test and knowing, hey, I'm genetically predisposed to periodontal disease. That might put the fear of God in them, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
It can be a tool
yeah.
to motivate people.
Right. It is a tool in our bag of tricks. There's no question about it.
All right, we have to take a break. In the toolbox, yeah, another tool in the toolbox. Weapon in the arsenal, whatever you mm-hmm. want to call it. All right, folks, you're listening to Open Wide with Sue Skipper and Dr. Bruce Edelstein. I want you to visit mygumdoc.com, mygumdoc.com. They're located at 2045 Peachtree Road, right across the street from Piedmont Hospital. I was just there yesterday. You have such a nice office.
Thank you.
The music, you know, I mean, it's like, you feel like you're, my workaday world, you know, everything is rush, 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 rush,
uh-huh.
rush. And then when I get there to your office, I feel like, you know, it's not one of these crazy, you know, I'm not at the office of a guru, you know, with, you know, like I've been to chiropractic offices and I got all kinds of smells. But I'm talking about, you just feel, it's the first time all day I relaxed.
Oh.
It was 4 o'clock in the afternoon.
That's good. Thank you. That's
and I was having nice. Dental work done and I still didn't feel pressured or I didn't feel upset, anxious.
Yeah, that's great.
Very good. So
we planned it that way.
Well, I appreciate it. I know you put a lot of planning into that.
Yes.
All right. So they're located at 2045 Peachtree Road, right across the street from Piedmont Hospital, next to the, I have to mention it once the show, Sue.
Absolutely.
The Darlington Apartments.
The Darlington.
Well, you were in this town when the Darlington was a pretty hip-hop.
I heard about
not it. Not hip-hop, but a pretty happening.
I heard about it back in the 60s and 70s.
Okay. But you were not a participant.
No, I was too young.
Okay.
I was a mere child then. And probably not in Atlanta at that time. But our older patients have told us about that.
All right. And folks, by the way, we have a lecture coming up at Brio. I always say it's one of my favorite restaurants. The three of us dined there.
Mm-hmm.
A couple weeks ago, and
yeah,
wonderful meal mm-hmm. there.
They do a great job.
So it's on Thursday, November 12th at 6 o'clock, and it's about implants, which people don't realize what an incredible innovation. I mean, stop me if I'm wrong.
It's a modern miracle, really. It replaces, you know, teeth that would be hopeless otherwise.
Okay.
As almost as good as natural teeth.
Mm.
Game changer.
A game changer.
Yes,
and it's
sure.
free of charge.
Yeah.
But you should go to mygumdoc.com and register in advance. We'll be back with more of Open Wide with Sue Skipper, Dr. Bruce Edelstein, in just a moment.
And now, back to Open Wide with Sue Skipper and Dr. Bruce Edelstein. For more information, visit mygumdoc.com.
And this is Jeff Davis with Sue Skipper and Dr. Bruce Edelstein. Sue, I just mentioned during the break, you know, you've been quite a trooper today. You know, you're not feeling well. You're under
just
the weather.
Just a little under the weather, yes. Uh-huh.
And you managed to make it here, and you're
muster
participant.
Up. Absolutely.
Full participant. You've told
yep.
me you look forward to the show. So
I do. I love coming.
Isn't
it's
great?
Fun. It's fun. We have a good message
yeah,
to get out.
Yeah, we both do. It is great. So, in the last segment, we touched on diabetes, but we only really touched on it. And you might be saying to yourself, well, this is a dental show. What are you talking about diabetes for? What's the? Well, there's every reason to talk about diabetes, apparently.
Yes.
And I'll just kind of start off with this stat here.
Sure. Okay.
It says diabetes is an emerging global epidemic with complications that significantly impact quality of life, longevity, and health care costs. It is estimated that 346 million people suffer with diabetes worldwide. Many of them, by the way, are apparently not aware even
yes.
that they have diabetes.
Yep.
It's untreated. That's
yep.
not good.
Yep. Most patients that are pre-diabetic have no symptoms.
What percentage of your patients would you say that you're treating for periodontal disease? Do you have any idea what percentage of them, could you estimate, are diabetic?
Fairly significant.
Yeah.
I'd say 25%.
Maybe.
Yeah.
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 That's fairly
yeah.
accurate.
Now, is it more prevalent among your older patients, people
yes.
50 and over?
Yes.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
50 and over, let's say.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't it great when you reach this new decade? If you ever see the charts in the doctor's office, well, when you're 40, you're supposed to have this, that, and the other thing done because you're 40 now?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
When you're 50, you're supposed to have
you
this.
You get more done.
You get more done.
Yeah.
And get the other stuff done again, plus some more stuff. And then when you're 60, you know, you need to, like, make your funeral arrangements. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it's like, but it is true. As we get older, we are more susceptible to things like diabetes and, of course,
yes.
as we mentioned before, periodontal disease.
Yes, and someone who has periodontal disease is much more prone to develop diabetes or be pre-diabetic. That's been clearly shown.
So when we talk about periodontal disease, you know, we are laymen, those of us who are listening to this program, and I'm participating mm-hmm. in the program. What do you see when you see periodontal disease? You see that inflammation, puffiness, the discoloration?
Sometimes.
I think I saw in there like the breath problems.
Oh, yeah. There are all sorts of warning signs for periodontal disease. Bad taste, bad breath, red tissues, red gums, swollen, bleeding, all tooth loss, drifting teeth, loose teeth. There are all kinds of local symptoms.
And sometimes you can have no visible symptoms.
Sometimes none.
It can all happen below the bone, which I think is what makes it harder for a physician to, you know, we were talking earlier about as part of your physical, maybe if, you know, I know my physician, I just had a physical last week, sticks a tongue depressor in my mouth. He's looking for, because we talked about it, he's looking for gross pathology, a tumor, a cyst. And I asked him, I said, what are you looking for? Are you looking for gum disease? No, not necessarily. And he told me he was looking for pathology and things like that. They really wouldn't know what to look for.
They wouldn't.
Sometimes periodontal disease doesn't produce visible clinical symptoms.
So a lot of times they're looking maybe for signs of cancer, let's say.
Yes.
You know, the tongue, the cheek, down the throat, et cetera, mm-hmm. the roof of the mouth. But not the gums. It seems like everywhere but the gums almost.
Right.
You know, the lips.
Harbor a lot of bacteria. But we'll talk more at the end of the show about some guidelines. For our patients or anybody in the medical community.
Mm-hmm. But diabetes is preceded by inflammation. This we know.
Yes.
Wow. And it says inflammatory periodontal diseases are the most chronic inflammatory conditions of humans worldwide.
Think about that. This is why
today's show is called Ground Zero.
Yes. Absolutely. It mm-hmm. is the most chronic inflammatory condition.
I want to tell you something. I met a guy. I haven't talked to him in a long time, probably 20 years. He worked at one of my clients' offices, the office of one of my clients. And he told me that he wore a patch over his eye. He's blind mm-hmm. to one eye. And we were close enough friends that I finally got up the guts to ask him one time, hey, what's with the patch, you know? And he told me he had some kind of a problem in his mouth that wasn't treated.
Hmm.
And apparently it went north.
Really?
Was he kidding me or? He didn't act like it.
I think that might be a rare occurrence. I can't say that I've heard that before.
Yeah, well,
we don't know what he had, and we don't know what the circumstances were, and we don't know what other medical factors may have made things worse. So there's so much about that case we don't know.
Mm. But we know that diabetes causes all kinds of things, isn't it?
All kinds of things.
Cardiovascular disease.
Yes.
Blindness.
Yes. Blindness.
Circulatory disorders.
Limb amputation.
Limb numbness.
Numbness, yeah.
In the limbs.
Kidney failure.
Yeah, yeah.
Diabetes is nasty.
There's all kinds of things. And, you know, we have, as I mentioned before, we have really good evidence that if periodontal disease is treated, there is an improvement in someone's A1C, which is a measure of their diabetic condition.
Now, maybe it's just a coincidence, but you you performed a procedure on me, a pretty
yes.
major procedure on me. Coincidentally, about, I don't know, 2 weeks later, I had my blood and urine tested,
mm-hmm.
as I do on a regular basis, and they checked my A1C, because
mm-hmm.
it is high.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not in the diabetes.
Pre-diabetic.
Yeah, I'm in there. And it went down significantly. Now, I don't know whether...
That doesn't surprise me. We hear that, we've heard that many times for patients after they've had treatment with us.
Mm-hmm.
And we've resolved areas that are infected and chronically inflamed.
Why did it take us so long to make this connection?
You know, I don't know. For 10 years, we've been hearing about these connections in our literature. I don't know why it takes so long to make these connections. You know, as I said on a previous show, we like to think we're so sophisticated. We just put the wheel on the suitcase in the 1970s. We've always had some sort of luggage. We've always had the wheel. We just put the wheel on the suitcase in the 70s.
You know,
I don't know. Sometimes when it's so obvious, maybe it's just too simple. You know,
I like that, the wheel on the suitcase.
After,
that's better than my ground zero.
That's even better.
The wheel on the...
Yeah.
Sue, you'll be happy to know that after the last show, I ordered a rolling duffel. Because I finally got sick of throwing something over my shoulder.
Your duffel bag does not have wheels on it. You're right.
So I did order one with
I'm proud of you for joining the rest of the world.
Listen,
now.
You know, I'll give you another analogy. In our cars, you know, our dashboards were metal and the steering wheels were metal. And people, of course, we didn't wear seatbelts.
I grew up laying in the back, you know, laying in the back window, thinking that was a fun place to lay between
people,
my parents.
How about on your parents' lap in the front seat?
Yeah,
not
absolutely.
Even strapped in.
And that was the 60s and 70s.
Yeah.
Yeah, Jeff, you want to hear the amazing thing? Someone sat down, a researcher, a dental researcher, periodontal researcher by the name of Offenbacher, sat down and calculated the surface area of all of the nooks and crannies in and around the gums and the teeth when someone has even a moderate amount of periodontal disease. And he came up with a surface area the size of the top of someone's thigh.
Wow.
So when someone has periodontal disease, you know, imagine a wound the size of the top of your thigh, oozing, infected, pus. I know that's really gross, but people just don't appreciate that, and physicians don't appreciate it because they don't look for it and they're not trained to.
I think another problem too is the insurance world. We've had separated dental insurance since its inception. This is a gross infection. I don't know why it's not covered by the health insurance.
Yeah, I don't know why.
We don't have separate brain insurance and separate lung insurance, but I think part of that separation of having a separate whole insurance industry to cover it has made us think the mouth is not really part of the body, and it's so intricately linked. It's not even funny.
Again, it's something that just makes sense.
It doesn't it? It's it common sense staring at us.
What percentage of people do you think are walking around with inflammation? They don't know they have inflammation in their body. I mean, not even just their gums. It's most of us probably.
The majority.
Well, you have to add the other two common causes for chronic inflammation, sinusitis. How many people all winter have sinus infections? And prostatitis is another common one.
Prostate? Oh, lovely. Yeah, they do. I'm at the age. I got a lot. Fortunately, I swear it's
another thing, Jeff, add to your list.
Yeah. No, I mean, but I was just going to say I have a lot of friends, and I'm serious. They're my friends, not me.
Oh, okay. Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
They got all kinds of prostate problems. You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
I got a friend, too.
Hey, look, we ought to get our two friends together.
Oh.
By the way, did you hear my service and your service had lunch the other day? Did you hear when they say have your service go my
sure.
Did you hear the services had lunch together the other
yeah.
day? I used to live in L.A. and I used to say that all the time out in L.A. And it just seems like it was so true. All right, we have to take a break now. We're up against a break. When we come back, we talked about periodontal disease being of epidemic proportions. Okay. We talked about the connection to diabetes. And it's huge because the number of diabetics in this country is gigantic, and it's sad to see so many of it, young kids now.
Yeah,
juvenile diabetes.
Yes.
Not even just even like childhood type 2 diabetes.
Yes.
You know, because they're too fat.
Right.
I'm sorry to be so crude. So we talked about those two. When we come back, we're going to talk about cardiovascular disease and the connection to periodontal disease, and there is a huge connection between the two. Folks, you're listening to Open Wide with Sue Skipper and Dr. Bruce Edelstein. From the office of Dr. Bruce Edelstein, located at 2045 Peachtree Road, right across the street from Piedmont Hospital. By the way, yesterday I had a 4 o'clock appointment there. I've never had a problem. You have free parking. I love that, by the way.
Yes.
It doesn't matter how much or how little the dental bill is. If they validate that parking, like $2 or
parking,
whatever it is, $3,
you know. It makes you feel good.
Honestly,
doesn't it?
It's like you just gave me $100.
I know. It's the least we can do.
That's why we pay for it.
And there's plenty of free parking. There's plenty of parking available. And you're located, you know, right across the street from Piedmont Hospital. You're right off that exit there. That, what is it, Collier Road? What's that? I took Collier to
From 75 Northside Drive.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, does that hit?
It hits Collier. Yeah, you go.
Okay, so you take
Northside
Collier?
Drive, Collier Road, come right.
It was right there.
Dead end into Peachtree.
Yeah, it was right there.
Mm-hmm.
So
we're
it was
close.
A pretty quick ride home at 5 o'clock in the afternoon, I must say.
Yeah, for sure.
Mm-hmm. All right, visit mygumdoc.com. Also want to mention new patient special, $129. I took advantage of it.
You did?
Back in July or August. It's worth $650.
True.
And let me also mention that should you need more extensive work done, we have interest-free financing available for a year,
mm-hmm.
or just get 10% for anything over $2,000. I like to use a credit card. Plastic money, just get it done with. And then I pay off the credit card at the end of the month. I don't like
sure.
letting the balances hang around very long. Back with more of Open Wide with Sue Skipper and Dr. Bruce Edelstein in just a moment.
now, back to Open Wide with Sue Skipper and Dr. Bruce Edelstein. For more information, visit mygumdoc.com.
And this is Jeff Davis with Sue Skipper and Dr. Bruce Edelstein. The show is Open Wide. And, you know, I was going to say, Sue, you've mentioned that, well, you've been with Dr. Edelstein for 20 years now. Mm-hmm. And the young lady who took care of me yesterday has been with him for 20 years.
Mm-hmm. She was hired a month before me.
Okay. And Sylvia has been how long, Dr. Edelstein?
21.
Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. That says a lot for your office. Mm-hmm. That your people, you know, it's like I've mentioned this before. You go to a car dealer and you want to talk to that salesperson you spoke to 2 weeks ago. Well, he's not there anymore.
Yeah, really.
Very common. A lot of companies. I've got in my contact list, I can't tell you how many people I send something to. You know, if I want to send like a little e-blast to people and they come back, you're right. Not here anymore.
Right, right. No, it's true.
You know, it says a lot for you people.
Yep.
And let me also mention this, because, you've been there 20 years, and Tina's been with Dr. Edelstein for 20 years, and others have been there maybe
seven,
almost
eight,
as long.
Nine.
Yeah. But you all look great.
Aww.
I'm serious. Hey, look, I don't want people to think, I'm serious, that, if you've been somewhere 20 years, you got one foot in the grave or something.
Yeah.
It's just like when we're talking about the Darlingtons, who in here was like, that's a long time ago.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah,
You could get right back in there at disco, you know.
In the disco days, yeah.
You guys look great. No, same thing was true of Tina. I couldn't believe that she's been with you for 20 years because that would make her, anyways, I got to make her 40 or something like that. So
she
sure doesn't look it.
No, she looks fantastic.
Yeah,
she does.
Unbelievable. So, in this segment, we want to talk about the connection between periodontal disease and cardiovascular disease. My late father-in-law was a type 2 diabetic. It's a great example. So he passed in 1985. And they didn't have the medicines, I don't think, that they have now. But he was overweight, and he wasn't exercising, and he was eating all wrong, and one of his best friends is a doctor. And the best friend said to him, you're going to become diabetic, you watch. This is going to happen.
And he did.
He became a diabetic. It was the worst thing that ever happened to him.
Aww.
See, people, even with all the information about diabetes today, people don't understand how serious this is, okay? So I don't want to bore you with it. He ended up having two heart attacks. They had to resuscitate him in one.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
He had... he ended up having his leg amputated, started with a toe. He had an infection of a toe. Dr. Edelstein, you know this drill, you know?
Mm-hmm.
An infected toe. Well, they had to take the toe off eventually, and then they took off the foot,
mm-hmm.
and then they took off his leg. It was just awful. And he ended up dying of complications of diabetes.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. So, you know, that was not an easy...
No, not at all.
...situation. When I first met him, he was already starting to... He was in his mid-50s. He was already starting to get sick from the diabetes, so it is not, you know, and me marrying his daughter didn't help him any, you know. I'm sure that was even made things all that much worse. I'm just kidding. I had a great relationship with him too, and my mother-in-law. So rare today. So cardiovascular disease. We're talking about things like not just heart attacks, but also problems with circulation, problems with kidneys.
Yes. It does turn out. Related to cardiovascular disease, that someone with advanced periodontal disease is 2 times greater risk of having a fatal heart attack and 3 times greater risk of having a stroke. And we've known these connections for 12 to 15 years, and we're starting to find out that there really are good reasons for it. The bad bacteria that invade the periodontal tissues and cause periodontal disease circulate throughout the body, and they're actually found in the beginning clogged arteries of cardiac patients, the actual bacteria from the mouth.
And problems with, and I forgot to mention this in connection with my late father-in-law, with the eyes, with vision. He had terrible visual problems. He had like floaters
diabetes.
Or something in his
mm-hmm.
field of vision. It was terrible. It was annoying as heck to him.
That's probably from the diabetes.
Yeah. And you know what gets me is that people think, well, they're taking a drug for diabetes, so I guess it's okay. I can eat whatever I want. I don't have to exercise or whatever.
Yeah, that's not the
case. Or you treat their periodontal disease much as mine was treated many years ago by a periodontist. And then you think, well, I'm okay now. I don't have periodontal disease anymore.
Right.
And I think it's because the periodontist doesn't make it clear to you that you now have a chronic condition that needs to be dealt with on a periodic basis.
Yes.
It's a maintainable condition. We don't ever heal the body of it 100%. It becomes a maintenance issue.
There are actual studies that show that someone who has periodontal disease treated, if they see the periodontist on a regular basis, they have far less of a chance of having a recurrence than someone that just goes back to the general dentist for care after that.
Would you say, based on everything we've said before, that somebody who has diabetes, let's say, they need to go see a periodontist to find out, a good, you know, qualified, experienced periodontist, to find out if perhaps this is contributing to the problem?
We think so, yes.
I think that's critical. Anyone with diabetes, anyone with heart disease, I think they would be on very, very safe ground for themselves if they sought out the, if nothing else, just the maintenance aspect that a periodontist and a periodontal office can provide to help them maintain health.
Does it feel good when you can say to a patient, I'm sorry, Sue?
I was just going to say that periodontist in our periodontal office, because of all this emerging connection with the oral systemic links, we view ourselves as the internist of dentistry. I mean, we think we're well suited to maintain good oral health.
Mm.
And if we can maintain good oral health, then it's not just a matter of saving teeth anymore. We might just be saving a life. We might just be saving someone heartache, sorrow, and poor health problems.
Yes.
Mm. I was starting to ask before, does it feel good when you can, if somebody comes to you to check for periodontal disease, doesn't it feel good if you can say to them, you know something, I've checked you out, you're looking pretty good, actually.
Yes.
I love it. And then I would recommend maintenance programs so I can offer advice on how they can stay healthy.
What kinds of things would you say to them? What kinds of advice would you give?
It would depend on if they were an active patient and we treated them for various conditions or not. But I would recommend a maintenance schedule, a cleaning schedule. The old formula of every 6 months, I think, is outdated. That's great for especially kids or someone who absolutely has never had a problem whatsoever. But some of our patients are on 4 month schedules, cleaning schedules, some 3 and some even 2 months. Mm-hmm. So we custom tailor the interval. And we change that from time to time based on if someone doesn't look quite as good or someone looks terrific. We will give them recommendations for home care to help them on what they do best in preventing disease. And we would give them a slew of other recommendations along those lines.
All right. Now, pregnant women, because I see that's in your notes as well.
Yes.
So if a woman's pregnant, okay, so generally they know not to smoke.
Mm-hmm.
I sure hope they don't. They know not to drink. I sure hope they know that too. Okay, but they might not know to go to the dentist and get checked for periodontal disease because, again, this is one of these things that just seems to make sense to me.
Yes.
Intuitively, that disease or inflammation in the mother can pass right on to the fetus.
Yes. It turns out it doesn't pass on to the fetus, but it is contained by the placenta.
I saw something, about the placenta.
And it does, there is a 7 times greater risk of a preterm delivery in a woman that has periodontal disease compared to a woman that
doesn't. That's a pretty shocking statistic.
That's why, if I was her OB, whatever
you call it. We think that too.
I would say, first thing I want you to do, go get checked.
It should just be an automatic. If you're family planning early in your pregnancy or before you get pregnant, rule it out. Screen it out. It's an easy exam.
Mm. Right, we have to go to a break, but I want to read this list from the notes that you gave me. It says, additionally, periodontal disease has been linked to COPD. Well, that's chronic obstructive pulmonary disease.
Yes.
I know somebody who died from that, and it's awful.
Yes.
Mm. Poor guy was awful. Chronic kidney disease, also awful.
Mm-hmm.
Rheumatoid arthritis, Alzheimer's, periodontal disease and Alzheimer's, huh?
Mm-hmm. Very strong link between those two.
Cancer, obesity, and last but not least, erectile dysfunction. And that last one doesn't make you run to your periodontist. You're not alive, guys. All right, we have to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk about certain guidelines that are out there, clinical care guidelines to help you. Folks, you're listening to Open Wide with Sue Skipper and Dr. Bruce Edelstein from the office of Dr. Bruce Edelstein, periodontist, located at 2045 Peachtree Road, right across the street from Piedmont Hospital. Visit mygumdoc.com, mygumdoc.com. Back with more of Open Wide with Sue and Dr. Bruce Edelstein straight ahead.
And now back to Open Wide with Sue Skipper and Dr. Bruce Edelstein. For more information, visit mygumdoc.com.
And this is Jeff Davis with Sue Skipper and Dr. Bruce Edelstein. You know, I've often said I wish people could hear what we talk about during the breaks, as well as during the regular.
That's where the real show happens.
Oh, yeah. Unfortunately, we don't tape that.
Yeah, yeah.
I wish we could. Hey, I want to remind you folks, November 12th, free seminar about implants. Talk about a game changer. You must have jumped for joy when you first heard about dental implants, Dr. Edelstein.
Oh, absolutely, because the alternative traditional dental treatments, bridges, removable partial dentures, or full dentures are so disabling. They really are antique compared to what we can provide with dental implants, which is a true, very predictable, tooth-like, very comfortable root replacement.
Mm. There you have it. So it's on November 12th. It's a Thursday. It's free of charge. You've got to register, though, at mygumdoc.com, but it is free of charge. It's at Brio Restaurant, I believe.
Okay,
heavy hors d'oeuvres.
Great food.
Oh, yeah.
Heavy hors d'oeuvres.
Very heavy.
Oh, lamb chops with gorgonzola. Ugh, I can't wait. My mouth is watering already.
You know, I mean, no offense, but it's worth going just for that. I got to
you know, it is. It is. You know?
It is.
And it's just like the lady who had you validate her parking when she went to her dermatologist.
Yes.
It's worth going just for the...
We're convinced that there was a guy at one of our programs that didn't need implants. And
he came just for a meal.
He just came for the meal.
Totally believe that.
You should have seen his plate. He stacked them high.
Yeah, what do you see mine? When I'm there. All right. And Brio is located in the Peach Shopping Center. So mark down November 12th and register at mygumdoc.com. So Sue, maybe you can go over with us these clinical care guidelines for people with periodontal disease.
Well, I think this is for anybody listening as a patient or even our peers in the medical profession. If you want to help your patients, these are guidelines that we presented at Piedmont Hospital when Dr. Edelstein spoke to the physicians at their Grand Round lectures last year.
Wow.
Yeah, we were invited over and we talked in much greater detail about the perio link, and one of them we knew was going to ask, how do I tell if my patient should see you? So we came up with a set of guidelines. And this can be used for just the ordinary person out there or our peers in the medical profession. Has it been more than a year since you've had a dental appointment? If it has, see a periodontist. Chances are there is something going on periodontally. Has anyone experienced bleeding gums, bad breath, bad taste, or tooth loss?
You know, the bad breath thing, it even makes me sick just to even talk about it. Just like I don't like saliva.
Yeah.
But a lot of times, you know, you don't know that you have bad breath. We know it.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
And that is not good.
If you go to Europe, a lot of people have, we call it perio breath. There's a very distinct smell that accompanies periodontal disease. It's anaerobic.
Lovely. Well, remind me not to go to Europe.
Well, the third thing is, do they have a history of past periodontal treatment? Have they ever been treated for gum disease in the past and perhaps have fallen away from seeing the periodontist? Chances are it's back. We see this every single day in our practice. And then the last guideline is, have you had more than one deep cleaning? Do you just keep going around and around with deep cleaning? Maybe 3 years later, you have another one done. Maybe another year and a half, you have another deep.
Well, that's not very consistent.
It just never seems to stop.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's not very consistent.
You know?
Not
correct.
We're not talking about regular cleaning.
Right.
We're talking about deep scaling where you're made numb. Yeah.
And what we're seeing out there is a lot of these folks that are having this non-surgical treatment repeated, they are not made well. It's just not enough. So they constantly have the initial deep cleaning and they're not made well enough. So it hasn't been resolved.
Should we routinely have at least an initial deep cleaning? We're an adult. We've been out there for a long time. We've never had one.
It depends on...
If there's a problem, I see a lot of deep cleanings done that don't need to be done also.
Right. So there are sometimes it's a complete waste of time.
Wow.
And that's really what a periodontist is directly...
And you have that device, the perioscope.
Yes. Yeah, that's been a game changer. Another game changer.
I think you have the most... You're the only one with the most modern
The only one in the state of Georgia, yes.
With the high resolution unit. Yes.
All right. And that's going to do it for this week's edition of Open Wide with Sue Skipper and Dr. Bruce Edelstein. As I always mention, I've got a million other questions. We never got to them, but that's why the show is so good because, well, the time flies by.
Yeah, it does.
Visit mygumdoc.com, folks, mygumdoc.com. I'm Jeff Davis, and Sue and Dr. Edelstein, thanks so much for being with us.
It's a pleasure.
Thank you.
This has been Open Wide with Sue Skipper and Dr. Bruce Edelstein. Specializing in periodontics, implants, and regenerative techniques, Dr. Edelstein's practice is Atlanta's premier periodontal office, where dentistry is both an art and a science. For more information, visit mygumdoc.com. Open Wide with Sue Skipper and Dr. Bruce Edelstein, Tuesdays at noon on News Talk 1160, the talk of the town.